Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I do appreciate those songs. And this day we're living, I talked about the, you know, what's going on, the turmoil in our nation. Excuse me. There's turmoil in the whole world. And there are those that foment that, you know, they fan the flames of the disasters that take place, right? They fan the flames of any disgruntledness and anything like that all across our world. We got the issue going on in Iran. Of course, we got things going on in Israel. And we got things going on here in America, things going on in south of the border and on and on. There's a whole lot going on. But that's just physical. There's spiritual war going on right now. I believe that the Bible talks about the book of Revelation that Satan knows that his time is short. I believe he knows that now. And he's doing his best to rise up and raise up and cause all kinds of trouble all across our land. Doubts and fears and things like that. And so let's pray that God would help our nation, our land, for his glory and honor. All right, here in Hebrews chapter 11, and just a thought this morning that I hope will be a help to you. I'm going to start reading verse 1, read down through verse number 6. All right, my focus really is going to be on verse 6, but I'm going to use these verses as we go into that. And so look with me, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We'll read it responsibly. I'll read verse 1, you'll come in on verse 2, and we'll go back and forth. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen and amen. We'll stop there with verse 6. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless his word. Brother Matt, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Matt, for that prayer. I'm preaching on this thought, seeking God. He says there in verse number 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if I took just those last two words, seek him. The him is God that he's talking about here. So the writer of the book of Hebrews is in chapter number 11. And we're studying through Hebrews verse by verse, but we're not in chapter 11 yet. But in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews is pointing to the power of faith using Old Testament examples. He goes through many examples that are mentioned. We call this the roll call of the faithful, or the Heroes Hall of Fame, and the heroes of the faith. We use words like that. But in the text that we read this morning, he mentions these early two witnesses. Verse 4, he mentions Abel, and verse number 5, he mentions Enoch. Now, what he mentions about Abel in verse 4 is the offering that Abel brought. The offering of Abel. In verse number 5, he mentions the walking of Enoch, that Enoch walked with God. And as he points to this, he tells us that these things pleased God. God was pleased with Abel's offering. God was pleased with Enoch's walking, all right? And so that tells me his offering must have been of faith, because without faith you can't please him. Tells me that Enoch's walking must have been by faith, because without faith You can't please him. Matter of fact, he said in the book of Romans that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know what that means? Displeases God. Misses the mark that God has set for us. Are you following me on that? And so what I want to zero in on, if I can this morning, is to point out this idea about seeking God. And it's referenced there at the end of verse number 6, and our verse that we are using primarily as our text. Now, it's true that Abel sought God's forgiveness and God's fellowship and God's favor in his offering. It's also true that Enoch, in his walking, I don't see necessarily that he's asking for forgiveness. There's no sacrifice made, although this is my reading into that. That doesn't mean that Enoch hadn't offered sacrifice. By the way, you can't walk with God until you come to know God, and the only way you can do that is if the sacrifice has been offered, and our sacrifice is Christ. Amen. We don't have to bring a lamb today. We can trust Christ. God gave his lamb. Amen. But you can't walk with God in fellowship without knowing God in forgiveness, but also in favor. He was looking for the favor of God. And so this is what I'm thinking about as I'm looking at this. Abel brought an offering. Abel, what did he bring? He brought a lamb. He brought the lamb because that's what God had prescribed. It wasn't just something he cooked up. It wasn't just something he dreamed. Are you following me? It's what God had shown them. All the way back in the garden when God made coats of skin to cover Adam and Eve, personally I believe that was a lamb, and that God slew the lamb. That offering was made. Matter of fact, I read and mentioned to you earlier that in Hebrews chapter number 8, God said that every covenant had to have the death of the testator. Every one of them. So somebody had to die for Adam and Eve to be forgiven. And who was that somebody? It was an innocent lamb that was pointing to the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Amen. So Abel knew somehow that he was supposed to bring a lamb, and he brought that lamb. Now here's what I'm just in the introduction. I'm just talking about that. Cain did not want to come God's way. He wanted to come his way. That's how the world is today. Right? They want to have their own idea of religion. I make it up myself. I want to serve God, but I want to serve God on my terms. You don't get to God on your own terms. You've got to come on his terms. Amen. And so Abel brought that lamb, and why would you bring an offering unless you realized you were a sinner needing forgiveness? Now, does it look to me like Cain thought he was a sinner needing forgiveness? It looks like he just wanted God's smile on his life. He wanted to purchase God's smile by the deeds that he had done, the fruits that he had produced, and all that goes along with that. But here then we come not from away from Abel. We come to look at Enoch for just a moment. And Enoch is one that found favor and fellowship by walking and talking with the Lord. Amen. He went with God throughout the days of his life until one day God took him. Somebody said it this way. They said they were walking together one evening after another as they were spending time together. After a while, Enoch might have said, "Lord, it's time for me to go home." And the Lord said, "Well, we're closer to my house now than we are to yours. Why don't you just come on and go home with me?" I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but I do know the Lord took him and he went on to glory, what we call a rapture. Amen. And so we see that in the text. I'm wanting to zero in on this aspect of seeking God. Enoch didn't just happen to walk with God. He sought to do that. He longed to do that. He planned to do that. All right. And so I say this, if there might be somebody here this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, you need to seek forgiveness. You need to ask for it. You need to look for it. Amen. You say, "I don't know if he'll save me or not." Well, it ain't going to hurt you to ask. You certainly ain't going to get it without asking. Amen. Amen. And so you need to seek forgiveness from God. You find that in salvation. Amen. And then saints need forgiveness too. Right? We go along and, believe it or not, people get on our nerves. And we get on people's nerves. Right? You can't drive on the highway long without somebody doing something to get on your nerves. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. But we got to say, "Lord, forgive me." We got to seek forgiveness. And you find that in the Lamb of God. You find that by walking in fellowship with God. You're already saved. So what, when a person that is saved sins, they don't lose their salvation, but that fellowship is broken. There's not that closeness that there once was. And so we need to ask God to forgive us for that. And we need to seek the favor of God as well as the forgiveness. In other words, the smile of God on our life. And then we need to walk with God in fellowship. Amen. Now, you know, Micah says, Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, if me and Brother Jonathan got together and said, all right, we're going to walk around the room together. And we're going to walk around the room together. I start this way, and Jonathan starts that way. We ain't doing it together. The only way we can do it together is if we agree. Amen. And the only way to agree is to go my way, because I ain't going to go his way. No, I'm just kidding. But my point is this. Agreeing with God, you don't get your way. You got to go God's way. Amen. Amen. So, having said all that, I think we can enjoy good fellowship with the Lord. We can enjoy the smile of God, our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by walking with Him. Amen. And so, I'm looking for that this morning. All right, now, let me mention a few things about this. The Bible, number one, the Bible commands us to seek. Look at verse 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, what's that next word? What? Must. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God didn't just suggest that we seek him. God said you have to. It's a commandment from the Lord. Now, here's what's interesting to me. And I underline that word seek there. Seeking after God. We are commanded to seek Him. He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Right. So God wants to reward us. Amen. But He doesn't just pour out blessings on people who are not seeking those blessings. It is true that God does bless people. It's amazing how He pours out His blessings on people. But He did say this. Sometimes, and I'm adding the word sometimes, but this is how He said it. You have not because you ask not. If you're not seeking the blessing from God, it might explain why you don't have the blessing from God. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen used to say this. I don't guess I'll ever forget it. I repeat it quite often. Brother Sammy used to say the reason why some people can't find a church is the same reason bank robbers can't find a policeman. They're not looking for it. Some reason why some people can't find God, they're not seeking Him. They're not looking for Him. Amen. Now, we're going to turn several. I've got a bunch of them right here, but if you'll turn with me, we'll use our Bible this morning. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55, these are familiar. You may know every one of these and could almost quote them. I'm sure you could this one. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. We use these words a lot of times in an invitation. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. It's what the Bible says. Seek ye the Lord. That's a commandment. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You know what He said? You need to be seeking after God. You need to be seeking after Him while you can. Right? Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 6. That famous verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And we'll be in the book of Jeremiah for a couple more after this, and then move on to some others. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now God's saying there, look around, see, get in the way, see, and ask. What's He talking about? Seeking after God. Seeking after the old way, that good way. Amen. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah 29. While you're going there, let me say this. Our world today says we don't want the old ways. We want the new ways. And the problem is the new way don't work. The truth is most of the new ways they've got today are not really new ways. They're just old, dead religions. Eastern religions have been dressed up and tried in a new outfit. The same old stuff. Right? But I'm glad for the old way of the Bible. Amen? The old way of God. Jeremiah 29, verse number 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3. Again, we quote it. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. So God's saying, you need to call, you need to ask, you need to seek, then you'll find. Right. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 7 and 8. You don't have to turn because you know it. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Words of our Lord, you know what he's saying? He said, if you hadn't found it, the reason is because you're not seeking it like you ought to. So the command is to seek. One more verse that you don't have to turn to. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The verse almost everybody uses as a recipe for revival. God said this in answer to Solomon's prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need revival in America. Amen. You know what Americans need to be doing? We need to be seeking God. We need to be turning from our wicked ways. Amen. We need to be calling on God, not just seeking His hand, seeking His face, wanting His smile again, not just what He does for us. Amen. But wanting the smile of God upon His face. And he said he'd do that if we'd seek. So first of all, we're commanded to seek. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 6. We're commanded to seek, but we're also commanded, number two, to seek in faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, and here's the phrase I underlined, must believe that he is. We're not praying to a God that may be out there. Are you following me? Amen. We're not seeking blindly. It's not some dream that we're seeking after. It's not just a vision or a vapor or an imagination. The world would tell you that it's an imagination. Amen. But can I tell you, what we're seeking after is not something ethereal. It's not something that is invisible. What we're seeking after is a promise of God. We've got God's promise and we can cling to that promise. That's what he's talking about. We got to believe that he is. There is a God in heaven and that God has made us promises. That's what we got to believe. Right? When a person comes to get saved, listen to me, think about this. When a person comes to get saved, they got to believe not only that there's a God in heaven that made everything, they got to believe that there's a God in heaven that gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If they can believe that, they can believe it unto salvation. Amen. Not just believe in a historical Jesus. Are you following me? Not just believing in a human Jesus. All that's real. You got to believe that, of course. But believing in the promised son that God said that he would give. And we're not trusting in what we say about him or what others say about him. We're trusting what he said himself. We're taking God at his word. Now you can come down, you can ask me, preacher, am I saved? You can't take my word for it. Right. Right. Amen. I had a first cousin. I still have him. He's still alive. He's about my age, just maybe, I think less than a year younger than me. And he came to Vision for a while. He was in and out, up and down, all the time, back and forth. And he asked me one day, he said, preacher, do you believe I'm saved? And this is what I said. I said, Martin, don't ask me. I said, every time I start thinking you're probably lost, you start acting a little bit like a saved man. Every time I start thinking he's saved now, he starts acting more like a lost man. And I said, don't ask me. But there's a God in heaven knows you better than I do. Right? All I can see is what you do. All I can see is the outside fruit. God can see the heart. Amen. And so what God says, that's what we got to depend on. We got to trust God for what God said about it. Amen. Well, preacher, do you think he'd save me? Well, what did he say he'd do? He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Amen. And we'll get there. We'll get there in the text. But here we are. He said, seek him by faith. You got to believe that he is. This is not some pie in the sky hope. Our faith is based on what God has said. I've said this before and I want to say it again because I think it's so needful. Faith is not just positive thinking. Faith is not just, what's the word I'm looking at? Confidence yeah, that's the right word I'd say. Confidence that everything's going to turn out all right. Faith is more than that. Faith has a promise to stand on. If you don't have a promise to stand on, your faith is not based on anything. Faith must be based on what God has said. Amen. Amen. And he'll keep his word. Thank God he will. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, he says you got to believe that he is. I'm thinking about this. Jesus gives us forgiveness. Jesus grants us favor with God. Jesus allows us to have fellowship with God. But we got to take God at his word to have that. We got to come by faith. So Jesus directs our prayers. How when we pray, we're to pray through Jesus. Right? We're not asking on my merits. I'm asking on his. Right? That's the only reason I have the only opportunity or the only right, if I could use that word, that I have to come to God is I'm coming through his son. Amen. Amen. Well, we must believe that he is. I think about this and I'll move off of this point. That he is. I said what we're going on is not some ethereal thing. Our God is. Everything that has been made is because our God is. People say, well, I know the world is, but I just don't know where, I don't know that God is. Well, there wouldn't be a world if it wasn't for God. Right? Amen. If somebody shows you a watch, you don't say, well, I wonder if there's a watchmaker anywhere in the world. You know there's a watchmaker. Because you got a watch. There's a world and there's a world maker. Amen. And that is God. We know there, but here, I'm going on a little bit further. The God that we worship is not just some spiritual enmity out there. Enmity is not the right word. Some spiritual thing out there. Our God took a body upon himself. And what we believe is we believe our God through the body he took on. How do we know? How do we know there is a God? Because God gave his son. His son took on flesh. Amen. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law, that to redeem them that are under the law. Amen. The whole point of that is this, is that God allowed his son to take on a body, and that's who we believe in. We believe in Jesus. Right? We don't just believe in a God of good feelings. We believe in a God that literally lived and a God that literally died on the cross that we might be saved. Amen. But he's not dead now. He got up from the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're told to seek him in faith. We're not just seeking some hypothesis. We're not just seeking some philosophy. We're seeking the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. So he said to seek. He commanded us. He commanded us to seek in faith. Number three, he commanded us to seek with diligence. You see that in verse 6 as well? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not some half-hearted. Amen. Amen. I looked that word up, diligence, diligently. Matter of fact, that phrase, them that diligently seek, those four words is one Greek word in the original. And that phrase, here's what it means. It's Strong's number 1567. It means to search out, that is figuratively to investigate, crave, demand. And by Hebraism, it means worship. It's translated in the King James Bible, inquire, require, seek after, seek carefully, and seek diligently. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines diligently as, quote, with steady application and care, with industry and assiduity, not carelessly nor negligently. Other words, here's the idea. If you want to get to the source of the river, you can't float because it'll only float downstream. You don't float upstream. Are you following? If you want to get to the source of the river, you're going to have to row. You're going to have to put in some effort. Right? You're going to have to keep moving. You're going to have to have some purpose, some intent in this. And so that's what he's talking about. He said that we need to seek God not negligently. Amen. We need to seek God not carelessly. We need to be careful about seeking God. And here's what I'm thinking about now. I'm right here to us, me and you. I wonder how diligently we actually seek God. I know sinners need to seek God, but I'm talking about us that are saved. How about us? We say, well, we want God to meet with us. Well, how diligently have we searched for that? How strongly are we actually wanting that? How diligently are we seeking? Well, we can say, how diligently are we praying? Well, I want my family saved. How diligently are you praying? Amen. We come to church, and I wonder how diligently we come to church. Are we seeking forgiveness? Are we seeking fellowship? Are we seeking favor with God? Amen. This is a phrase I wrote down, and I don't remember where I read this. I read it somewhere, and I wrote it down. This is simple, but it's just a good. Half-hearted seeking finds nothing. Half-hearted seeking finds nothing. I'm going to use an illustration. Happened to me when I was a boy, numbers of times. Happened to me as an adult with my boys. I want to ask you this, especially you men. All right, think about this. Ladies can think of the same thing. But men, how many times have you men been doing something and you needed a specific tool, for example? You sent your son to go get the tool. He wasn't as invested in fixing that as you was. He's playing. Aren't you following me? He's not concentrating. He goes in there, goes right where you tell him it is, and cannot find it. It's right there in plain sight. Amen. All right. You say, preacher, that's just an idea for, how about the ladies? You ever sent your husband to the grocery store to get something? You know what he did? He can't find it. It ain't cause he's blind, and it ain't just because he's dumb. It's because we're not as invested. Diligence. I can remember as a boy, Dad sending me to get a tool, and my dad had a quick temper, and I'm not saying this to rat him out or fuss at him. God's helped him with that. But Dad had a quick temper. And if you didn't bring back what he asked for, well, it just wouldn't be good. I'll leave it there. All right. We're on the radio, and there is still a social services out there. But I can remember going, and Dad said, for example, Dad said, go get me a Phillips screwdriver. We all know what that is, right? At least, all right. A Phillips screwdriver, and I'm trying to remember now. Is that the thing with you clip and get a hold of things with? Or is that the thing you drive a nail in with? No, I'm being a little bit, but seriously, I can remember thinking, what did he say? What kind of screwdriver did he say again? Which one of them is that? And trying my best, thinking, Pharaoh, you got to focus. You need to concentrate. And by the way, that's part of growing up. That's part of maturing. Amen. Is learning to regulate yourself and govern yourself so your mind ain't just out there everywhere, but you're focusing on what you're told to do. Amen. What you're supposed to be doing. In this case, I wonder when God said, seek me. I wonder if we're not guilty. A lot of times our mind's everywhere except focusing on God and focusing on the need that's before us. Amen. Here's a verse of scripture. I'm not going to have you turn. I'll just read it in Proverbs chapter number 8, verse 17. We went through this when we studied the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 8:17 said, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Those that seek me early. I looked that up because I had an idea about it and I found out I was right about this. Seeking him early does not just mean before daylight. It means intentionally. It means you get started at it with intention. God said in the book of Jeremiah over and over and over again, that's where I'm reading my daily Bible reading right now, Jeremiah over and over and over again, he said, I sent my prophets rising up and sending them early. He wasn't saying I sent them before daylight. He wasn't saying that they had to get up early and go. His point was this. He said, I had intention and deliberately sent them, made a plan and worked through that plan to send them that you could have these words. This is my point. How diligently are we actually seeking God? We need revival, don't we? Amen. The Island Ford Baptist Church needs revival. The city of Madisonville needs revival. You say, do you believe God can revive a city? I believe God can do anything He wants to do. Anything. What, don't you believe it's the last days? Yeah, but they don't tie God's hands. Right. You believe we can have national revival? I believe God can do anything He wants to do. I do know this. I do know that God is interested in nations. He talks about it all through the Scriptures. He is interested in nations. And He has given us a space, a little space of grace right here where we're at right now. Amen. We talk about how bad things are. Could be much worse. And if Jesus don't come and we don't get right with God, it's going to be much worse. We've got this little time. What are we doing with it? How diligently are we seeking Him? The psalmist David had a hunger after God. You know these verses, Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. As the hart, that's H-A-R-T, talking about the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 84 verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The psalmist David had a hunger for God. Our grandparents, our forefathers experienced some of that. They knew what it was to pray and call on heaven. They knew, listen to me, they knew, they put them crops in the ground. And by the way, their family was relying on them crops. You didn't just run down to Kroger. They wasn't no Kroger. Right? You didn't just run out to Walmart. There wasn't no Walmart. Their family was dependent. Their survival depended on them crops coming up. Their survival depended on them being able to hunt and find a deer or find a rabbit or whatever. And you know what they did? They prayed about those things. They spent time in prayer. Oh, they was busy from sun up to sundown. They was busy. But they took time in all that business to call on God because they was believing God. Their hope was in God. Now all of a sudden we got it so easy and so made that we think we don't need God. I'm going to tell you again, we've got this space. I wonder how diligently are we seeking God in this space that He's given us. Here's my last point now and I'll be done. We're commanded to seek Him. We're commanded to seek Him with faith. We're commanded to seek Him diligently. And then number four, we're promised a reward if we'll seek Him with faith diligently. He said, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you know what's the best reward of seeking something? Finding the very thing you're looking for. Amen. Amen. You ever been looking for your wallet? You've lost your wallet? You gotta find it. I mean, everything you own's in that wallet. Everything else is on layaway. Paying monthly for it. But I gotta find it. And maybe you're looking for that wallet, you're looking for that very thing, and you find something else. You find your keys that you didn't know where your keys was, maybe. Whatever the case is. Thank God you found that, but it still don't make up for what you was looking for. What is it we're looking for? Well, I believe we need to be looking for forgiveness and looking for favor and looking for fellowship. That's what I've talked about in this, and I believe it's right. You know what's the best reward of finding Jesus? Our sins are forgiven. Amen. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. Because my sins are gone. How did my sins get gone? Was it because I got baptized and they got washed away and sucked down the drain? No! My sins are gone because Jesus suffered and bled and died for my sins. And by faith I've received Him. Amen. You find what you're looking for. You can find favor with God. God is good to every one of us. There ain't a person in here Not one person. There may be somebody that would try to say, God ain't been good to me. But the truth is, he's been a whole lot better to you than you deserve. He's been better to every one of us than we deserve. He's been good to us. Amen. But there's just something about when we seek God, it just seems like he gets better. Just seems like his smile gets better. Amen. Isn't it a joy to serve Jesus? Isn't it a blessing to be saved? I'm going to tell you what's really a blessing is to be in fellowship with him and in his favor. Amen. We can come to church. We can still sing the songs. We can still preach the sermons. We can still go through all the things. But if Jesus don't show up, if his spirit don't move, the fellowship just ain't there. But the reward is when you seek for it and you find the very thing you're looking for. Now here I go back to Abel. Abel sought for forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I'm going to stop just a minute. He doesn't right there say what Abel's offering is, but he says it was better than Cain's offering. More excellent. Why was it more excellent? I doubt very seriously that it looked as beautiful as Cain's offering. A bloody lamb compared to beautiful, bountiful fruit. This is just my opinion. I imagine Cain's offering, when he brought over the fruit of the ground, I don't think it's dirty potatoes that he laid up there and wormy tomatoes that he laid up there. I think he had a basket. We get that word cornucopia, that basket of plenty. He got that horn of plenty and laid it up there, and it was stuffed with beautiful squash and beautiful pumpkins and luscious watermelons, and I could just go on while we're right here at lunchtime. And all these beautiful, wonderful things. His offering probably looked better than Abel's did, but it wasn't better. Because God don't deal with sight, God deals by faith. Cain's offering was not faith. Abel's offering was faith. So it's a more excellent sacrifice. By the way, it's what God required. I'm going back to it. Okay. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now here's my phrase. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Did Cain say Abel's righteous? No. Did Abel say Abel was righteous? No. God said Abel was righteous. God said Abel was righteous because God showed favor on his offering. Now hang with me right here just a second. Well, I'm almost done. If you want God to be pleased with you, it's not based on you, it's based on our sacrifice. Amen. It's based on our Lord. How obedient are we to him? How much are we leaning on him and trusting him? How much are we showing him to the world? Amen. So we want God to testify that we're righteous. He testified that Abel was righteous by that offering. Amen. And then he said, he being dead yet liveth. So he lived a short time. Cain killed him because of his offering, but he's still speaking today, even though Cain killed him. God said that he is righteous. Then you got Enoch. Enoch lived a short time too. Enoch went to be with God, walked with God, went to be with God, and he's gone from the earth. But he's not dead. He's not non-existent. He's in heaven with the Father and in heaven with the Son. Amen. You know what he sought for? He sought for fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son through the Spirit. Isn't that right? Amen. And so Enoch had that fellowship. That's what we need. Now, I'm going to close with this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. I said I'd get back to this. Isaiah 45. If you can look at these verses, verses 18 through 22. Isaiah 45, verse 18 through 22. For thus saith the Lord. He's the Lord that created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place in the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. You know what he's saying in those verses? God's the one that made it all, And God said, seek me. And he didn't say, seek me in vain. He said, I made you a promise. If you'd seek me, this is what you'll find. All right? Look at verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations that have no knowledge, that set up the... They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Amen. You know what he's saying there? He's saying there's a God that made heaven and earth and there ain't no other God. They can make a stone or they can carve wood. They can paint it. They can picture it. They can do all these. They can overlay it with gold. They can overlay it with silver. But listen to this. If that God goes anywhere, they got to carry it. They can pray to it, but that God can't hear them. That God can't see them. That God can't help them. Because it's not a God. It's a figment of the imagination. But every culture in the world that doesn't know Christ, that have not been, we'll say Christianized, not heard the gospel of the Word of God. You know what they have? They got some kind of a God. Every one of them. They got some kind of a God. And every one of them know that that God is angry at them for something. They all know that. They all know that God is, you know why? Because there's something in the heart of man that I don't care how foolish he is. You got to have some kind of college degree to believe that there is no God. You can't get that naturally. It's got to be crammed down your throat. It's got to be, you got to be brainwashed into believing such a thing, that there is no God. Even the heathens know there's a God. They just don't know who he is, what his name is. They also know that God's angry with them. Why is that? Down in the heart of man, we know that we have fallen. We know that there's sin in the world. And that we're culpable because of that. That we're responsible because of that. And here's what God's saying. God's saying, you can pray to that God, but he can't save you. You can bring all your offerings to that God, but he can't help you. So God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's what he's saying. Call ye upon him while he's near. He's saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of earth, for I am the Lord. I am God and there is none else. Amen. What's his point? We're commanded to seek him. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the word. As they come with a song, Lord, I pray you'd be moving on hearts already. Lord, I pray you'd help that sinners would seek you for forgiveness. I pray that saints would seek you for forgiveness and favor and fellowship. And Lord, that you would help us, that we'd be diligent about that and that we'd do it in faith. That we would take you at your word and we would believe you for what you have said and promised. And Lord, I pray that you'd use these words to bring you glory. And Lord, I do pray you'd send revival. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.